these beautiful pictures that she hand-colored herself. And they're out on the table. Feel free to put some in your boxes. You can be creative with them. Just stick them in the bottom or even on the top of the inside of the lid to decorate that. And by the way, you can write on the inside of the lid.
Display.
Like Merry Christmas, God loves you, Jesus loves you. Whatever you want to put, you can take a marker and you can write. They're just gorgeous. So let's use them. Let's not let them sit around. You can put more than one in a box.
Box because, of fortune, right?
Yeah. They're just absolutely beautiful. And she also did a ton of bookmarks, and they're all laminated. And they're out there, too. Feel free to put... Yes. So feel free to put those in your boxes, too.
That's great.
Aren't they neat?
Yeah.
Because, wow. You know, kids could hang these in their room, and it would bring color to their room, where maybe they don't have color in their room.
Wow.
So, thank you, Roxanne.
Yeah. Nice work.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are going to be...
They're on the table right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so help yourself, and we'll be putting them in our boxes during the packing party, too. Thank you.
All right. Well, now, if we could have, let's see, a couple of guys, Carl and maybe Curtis. No. He wants to stay there. Find somebody else who we need. I could do it. I'll pray, and then I'll come back with you. Lord, we thank you for your provision. Lord, as even we were reminded today, to remind ourselves of your provision and your faithfulness. Lord, many of us here have walked with you many years, and we can think back, Lord, with lots of memories, Lord, and reminders of things you've done, Lord, where we thought there maybe was going to be no way. And you made the way, you made the provision, you brought the healing, Father, whatever, Father, there are so many ways. And we thank you, Lord, that you are with us. And we thank you, Lord, that you see and provide. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless these gifts and tithes, offerings as we give them, and give us wisdom as this church body and what you would do as we just manage these things, steward these things you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Do we have any testimonies? What has God done? Mary.
So you all know how when you're flying, you know, and the delays and the hurry up and wait and all that. So the flight coming home, I only had an hour between the flight and the connecting flight, which, you know, I could do it, but only if things all work out. So the first flight, the first one was half an hour late, waiting on the pilot or the stewardess or something, and I'm like trying not to get nervous and just, okay, it'll be fine, you know, whatever happens, happens. So we get there, and as I'm hurrying really fast through the airport, which is not easy for me, I have a torn meniscus, and my knee was killing me trying to walk really fast, and I got to my gate, and it said boarding at 1:28, and I looked at my phone and it said 1:28. So I was just grateful that the Lord gave me the strength to keep plugging along. I said to my son, next time give me more than an hour.
You made it.
I made it.
Yeah, that's right.
And I had a wonderful, wonderful time with my grandbabies.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, 12
of them. 13. 12
of them.
Wow.
And they were all there.
Wow.
The one in Idaho, they drove all the way
through. Oh, boy.
I am
exhausted. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else have a testimony? Going up? Okay.
I think it was two Sundays ago that Pastor Dave had a word of knowledge about somebody, a toe, yeah. And I reached up and I grabbed that, and, you know, because I've had problems with my right foot for years and years, and it's just disintegrating more. But the Lord is good, and I have not had any pain, and I thank God for it, and I'm believing Him for complete restoration.
Amen. Yeah, you do.
I do?
Yeah, you do. Sorry. Yep. It's important to use it in that way. Well, last week I had all three cars broke. And oh. Tip it that way. I'm not used to talking in the microphone. And I asked a couple people for help and they couldn't do it or whatever, but to make a long story short, it was just brakes from my wife's car, and my car was about $776. I thought it was going to be way over that. My daughter's car they fixed for free because it was a part that they had replaced before, and it broke again. And then this week I went to try to be proactive and get my snowblower ready. And I filled it up with gas, and all of a sudden I'm smelling gas, and it's leaking all over the place. So I looked, and I had a hole in the gas line. So, of course, I called Tom. Tom said, Carl, I'm not a mechanic. So I called somebody else, and they said they could get to me next week. Well, next week turned into yesterday. He called me. He says, oh, I'll come over. And he looked at it and he says, well, Carl, you know, you look like you got enough holes where we could just cut where the hole is and reattach it. I'm thinking it was going to be this big thing, and it wasn't. And he also said, well, your oil looks bad. Let me change your oil for you. I hadn't changed the oil since I've had the snowblower, 6 years. But it showed me, because I had been watching a lot of religious stuff, and it was like how the things that seem to be impossible for us, because that's how my mortal mind thinks, impossible, are possible with God. And this guy is a Christian that came and fixed the snowblower, so I was just like praising God. So just figured I'd give him the glory. Amen, amen.
As most of you know, I've been sick for about 2 months of different things. And anybody that knows me knows I'm an avid deer hunter, and I closed down everything in life to go deer hunting. So I finally started feeling almost good enough to hunt. And I said, well, I'll get my crossbow out and sight it in. So I took it out and got it off, sighted in, and the last shot, one of my arrows went off. And I said, that's not right. So I shot again and went off again. I said, I can't believe this, because I have a twin strike, and one scope sights in both arrows. So I pulled the bow back, cranked it back one more time, and the limb broke. So I said, oh, Lord. I says, well, all things that work for good for those who love the Lord. I says, thank you, it happened now and not in the woods. What last time it happened in the woods, a couple years ago. So I put that away, and got out my other crossbow. You know, everybody has two crossbows. Had two arrows left for that, so I shot one and it went good, and I put it out a little farther and I shot it, and it hit the top of the target and zipped out to the woods, and I lost my arrow. So I would not go hunting with one arrow. So I sent the other crossbow into the factory. And says, well, I guess that's, we'll just have to wait for that to come back. So I said, well, I'll take my truck and trailer over to get ready for Indiana. Took that over, and the guy calls back and says, well, you got to have brakes, you got to have a new $1,700. I said, oh. I said, well, go ahead, you got to do it. So I was thinking, praise the Lord, that didn't happen in Indiana. So I finally get my stuff around. I got arrows ordered, and I took my second crossbow out yesterday, and it took me from 2:30, and it was 5:15 by the time I sat on my stand. That's how much slower I am from the years past. But I praised the Lord, you know, and it felt so good to be out there after going through what I did, and he's allowing me to recover and to get stronger and have a good attitude. So, thank you, Lord.
Have you had the experience of having things, I don't know how to say this, having things break down at the right time? I mean, you never want your things to break down, but have you had the experience of having it break down at the right time instead of the wrong time? We've had things where we've uncovered stuff and it's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, that we found it, that we saw it. And that's a great testimony. Amen. Yes, you may. I'm coming.
Well, thank you all for your prayers. There was a lot of prayer that was needed while I was down there. Obviously, you heard about heard about my daughter's birth. You know, it was a home birth. She had midwives. You know how in the past the baby was breech, and then we prayed that the baby would turn. She saw a chiropractor. The baby turned, was in the right position. She got the okay to go, and then her water broke. And they think that when her water broke, she had a lot of fluid. She felt the baby move like a lot. And we think that the baby might have turned at that time back to breech. So obviously, you know, and the labor just took forever. She had a very slow, long labor. And ended up having to take castor oil. I mean, that's horrible. Just to get things moving, you know, it was really bad. But anyways, so when the midwives finally were able to come, after a while of laboring, they said, we think you're breech. It's breech. So they called the other midwife whose experience was delivering breech. And, you know, Christina was far along, and she came and checked her. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I mean, in the past, women had babies breech. You know, I was breech. All my siblings, we're all breech. I found that it's genetic. Anyways, she said to us, she said, you know what, in the morning before dawn, you're going to be holding your granddaughter. I'm like, oh, really? And I'm like, I know we will be, but I don't know if she's going to be here. And I remember talking with Christina, and Christina, she had done a lot of reading. She was very resolute and said, no, I'm going to go with it, because the midwife was allowing her to deliver at home. So, of course, Curtis was in one spot. I was in another spot. We just prayed throughout the night and continued to pray. And I kept saying to the Lord, Lord, and, you know, the fear wants to get in, the fear, the baby, Christina, the baby. And it was like continually, like throughout the night, just giving the fear to God, giving it to the Lord. God, but you said this. God, you said that. And after a while, like another couple of hours, I was in the basement because that's where we stayed. I went upstairs and I said, I'm going to pray. And I know the ladies were Christians. I found that two of them are. And as I laid hands on Christine, I just began to pray, and I just said, God, you've made her strong. You've made her strong. And I felt like she received that. I felt like something happened. And then the midwife checked her again. I'm not saying it was my prayers. I'm not saying that. You know what I mean? But I feel like something took place. And the midwife checked her again. She said, okay, you're good to push. And so it was an hour and 15 minutes later, the baby came, and it was amazing. And so praise the Lord. So anyways, thank you for your prayers. God obviously saw the beginning and the end. And so praise the Lord. And thank you for your prayers. When I got that bang, I wasn't expecting that. I was feeling like, because the highways, there's all these highways all over Knoxville. And I'm like, I miss our like slow, easy roads here. You know, just easy driving to Wegmans, to Tops, wherever, to church, you know. And it was like you get off one road and you're on a highway and an interstate and another interstate. And I was like, oh, Lord. So finally, when I was finally saying, I'm thinking, I'm feeling more relaxed about driving. I'm doing it better. And that was the day I got rear-ended. So I decided I was not going to drive. But thank you for your prayers. Yep, there's healing taking place. So amen.
Yeah, amen. It's wonderful to have you back. All right. Well, in just a minute, I'm going to invite our brother Tom up. He'll be sharing the word today. We want to remember to pray for Rita Piangatelli. She's home with a really, really nasty cold. We're going to pray for Judy Riley today. She's got procedures this week. Procedures. We don't always like that word, but we're hoping for... I told Judy after all the appointments she has this week, she's going to be a new woman. And we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem today. If you've heard the news, the horrible rocket attacks upon Israel, Psalm 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. Father, we pray today for our sister Rita that you would touch her body. You would help her, Father. Give her relief from these symptoms, Lord. Strengthen her. Help her to recover quickly. We pray for Judy, Father, that you would let everything go right this week. Let everything line up. And Father, touch her body and deliver her from these painful circumstances. Lord, help her in her body. We pray for the intervention of your Spirit for her, Lord. And today our hearts go out to the country of Israel. Lord, you're chosen. And Father, we pray that you would deliver them from terrorism. You would help the families that have lost loved ones in the bombing attacks, Lord. Father, we pray that you would push back the demonic inspiration of Hamas in that country at this time. And that you would have mercy on those people. Give them your grace and uncover every evil plot against Israel, Lord. Uncover it, Lord, every wicked thing, every plan against them, Father. We pray that it would not prosper and that you would help them, Lord. And I pray that you would help the messianic ministries that are at work in that country, Lord, to reach Jewish people with the gospel. Strengthen and help them, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Tom, come. We had some painting going on this week. I got to see some of the handiwork. If you haven't noticed the railing out here, that was done a little while ago, but nope, come on up. I'm not going to talk anymore. The rest got done, maybe.
Good morning. Beautiful worship this morning. Especially that praise the name of the Lord our God, and praise his name forevermore. Well, a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, I had the privilege of sharing, and I talked about no condemnation. I don't want to re-preach that, but you know, back in the old days, we had the 45s. How many remember 45s? So we had side A and side B. So this is kind of like side B to that. And I had a hard time naming this. The hardest part about this message was naming it. I didn't know what to call it. I thought maybe call it the other side of the coin. But I said, no, that's not good. Or what now? That wasn't good. So I just call it grace lived out. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. Remember we talked about how through his grace there is therefore now. Not only later, but there is therefore now, no condemnation. And we talked about the propensity that we can have of having this these ups and downs in our spiritual walk, not because God is changing, but because our perception of our own relationship to God changes. We feel like we get under some condemnation, and now we're low, we haven't performed, we haven't done what we're supposed to do, and then another day we do well, and oh, we're on top of the world. And so we sometimes have this up and down stuff, and we talked about that a lot, so I really don't want to go through that all again. If you weren't here, you can get it on the website and listen to it, and you'll see side A of this presentation. But okay, we're saved. There's no condemnation. Now what? What do we do now? And what's our life all about now? And so I'm going to really charge through some things, not because they're not important or not because I don't have a lot to say about them, but because I have a lot to say. And I can't get it all in if I don't move kind of quickly. So I leave some of this stuff just for your consideration and your meditation and your application in your own lives. But we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. And this is probably the longest portion of Scripture we'll look at this morning. But it says in Ephesians 2, 4, it says, "But God." I like when the Bible says, "But God." You know, there's this interjection. You got a situation, but God. And so many times that's been our prayer, but God. Okay, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And we could preach that verse for sure. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." This should all sound very familiar to us. Now here's the main verse I want to look at. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This scripture shows us that salvation only comes through faith, and that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. When you're dead, you're unable to do anything. You can't respond. You're dead. But it says, "But God in his great mercy in which he loved us, he saved us." And that this speaks of a change, not only of a spiritual sense of where we are in our spirit, it certainly is there, but it also has to do with the flesh, the life we live in this world. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "The old man has passed away." Remember, it says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old man has passed away, and all things are become new." Now, a lot of preachers will say after me, "all things," but I hate when they do that, so I'm not going to do that. But I hope that you underline it or take note of it, that it says all things have become new. Again, this has to do with the spiritual, this has to do with the physical, this has to do with the psychological. Again, we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Now, when we become a new creation through Christ, it causes us to think different. It causes us to behave different. The day before, and I'm glad my wife is here today, because she can stand up and tell you're lying if I'm lying. Okay, don't say it if I'm telling the truth. The day before I got saved, I was an absolute mess. I mean, I was a mess. There was way too much alcohol involved. There were drugs involved. There was anything that I was supposed to do, I wasn't doing. I was doing everything wrong. Things were really messed up the day before I got saved. When I gave my life to the Lord, he came to me. Some people say I found Jesus. I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. And when he found me, and I had the grace to respond to him, like at that moment, there was a total realignment of who I was. Now, I have to tell you, there's been a process that I've been on for 48 years now, I think. I've been in this process, and I haven't reached the end yet, but little by little, I'm taking ground, and I'm getting there. But the whole idea in my head, and the drive of my heart changed like that. new creation. We had this, I had this bent towards sin. It was like, show me something new bad that I can do so I can get at that. You know, there's a lot of bad things I haven't done yet. I need to find out a few more. And as though these things were bringing me any joy or any of that. Of course, it wasn't. I was changed. My mind changed. My behavior changed. What I was totally unable or unwilling or didn't even desire to do on one day, the next day, I was totally different. Now, many of us have this testimony. Some is not as dramatic as me, but it was pretty dramatic change from one day to the next. And then the thing that was amazing to me, and I would remember my friends the friends from my old life, guys I worked with and all that, they would it'd be a hot day, you know, and they would say, come on, Tom, bring a nice cold beer, you know, and they talk about the water running down the glass, and they're doing everything in the world they could do to entice me to have that drink, because I didn't want to drink anymore. Was not a sacrifice. I just didn't want to. And I'd look at them and say, I don't want to do that. And sometimes it's like, I can't do that. I just can't. Don't give in, Tom. Don't give in. Don't take a drink. It wasn't there. I didn't want to do it. So that's some kind of miracle. Judy will say amen to that. She was with me through that whole dark time. And so old friends sometimes can be a problem. Now in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. That's an awesome scripture, because God not only provides us the will, he provides us the how-to. He gives us what we need to actually do what he wants us to do. He's in this with us. He doesn't give us a mandate or a charge or a mission or something and say, okay, you go and good luck. You know, have at it. No, he's with us in it. He's in us. It is God working in us both to will, the want to, and to do, which is the being able to do it. Human nature wants things to begin on the outside and work its way in. God wants things to start on the inside and work their way out. And that's exactly my testimony. That's exactly what God did with me. In Titus 2:13, obviously I could camp on any one of these scriptures, but I don't. I just want to keep moving. Titus 2:13, Titus says, he mentions good works several times in this epistle, but Paul says to Titus, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, we sang about that this morning, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And again, we're talking about a desire, something in us that is maybe I'll do something, maybe I'll... No, he says that God wants, he's redeemed us, he purified us for himself, for his own special people who are by definition, it says here, zealous for good works. The life we live, the things we do, they are to be a testimony. They are to bring glory to God. And when we do good things, and people say, they look at Carl and they say, Carl, I remember you. What happened to you? You know, there's this thing that people take notice, and it gives the opportunity to just say, well, nothing I did, but God rescued me. He helped me. He took me out of a bad place, and he brought me here. And I couldn't do it. Again, just the fact that there will be people that notice. I know at one point they perceived of Jesus' disciples, they said they perceived he had been with Jesus. So there's that sense of bringing glory to God. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Oh, they see Carly was such a wreck. He was such a reprobate. He was such a problem. Praise God. Look at what he is now. People will praise the Lord. I praise the Lord with you, brother. All kidding aside, great things he has done. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Uh-oh, now we're outside the church. Watch out. That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Gentiles, the outside world, they're watching. They're watching. Then a lot of times you talk to people about the Lord, and they don't want to talk about the Lord, they want to talk about the church. Now there are so many hypocrites in church. I always say there's room for one more. Join us. It's God's will that we be engaged in doing good. The good we do is never the root of our salvation. Be good enough. Please God, He'll let you into heaven. It's never that. It's not the root of our salvation. It's the fruit of our salvation. It's what we do not to get salvation. It's what we do because of salvation. If you're saved, you will do good works. That's what I'm reading here. Now, we have a responsibility in this, and this has all been introduction because I want to get to our side of that. This is God's created us. It says He created us for good works, which He has already ordained for us. In other words, the good things that I'm supposed to do are not the same things you're supposed to do. We can't do everything all the time. It'd be crazy. It'd be insane. It would be unmanageable. But each one of us has this thing in us, and God has He has made us to His creation to do the good works that He has beforehand ordained for us. Do you realize every one of us are on a mission? Whether we realize it or not, we're placed by God in situations and different people and different, and all of this stuff. Why? Because you become His person in that. And by becoming His person in that, He can use you. And a lot of times, oftentimes, it's not so much what we say, at least in the beginning, it's really what we do. What we do. I remember I was a lineman for the power company, and we had a little downsize there for a little while, and so I got bumped out of my job, which I really liked. And of course, if you know any linemen, you know they're all full of themselves, and they're like, egos are way off the chart. And so I was this hot shot kid, and I was a lineman, and they told me, we can't use you there. We want to put you over there and cut grass, will you? And they put me in a grass cutting thing. Well, I was a believer at this point. Again, the sanctification process has been ongoing for quite some time. Okay, so I was a believer, but I was not happy. I was like, my pride was assaulted. I was like, what, me cut grass with the skill of these hands, you know, and all of that. And so anyhow, we're loading up this bread truck kind of van with all the stuff we need to cut grass. There's me and several other guys on this crew. And I'm just like, well, anyhow, I'll tell you what this guy said. It was this guy that I worked with who I also did not like. There was something about him that all he did was walk in the room, and I was like, I don't like him. He didn't do anything, but I didn't like him. He was the one who said to me, now he's an unbeliever, foul mouthed. He looked at me and said, you have a bad attitude. Well, I did not like being corrected by this guy, but I like shrank into myself because I realized I had a bad attitude. Now, the bad attitude in itself, a lot of people have bad attitudes. The problem is, how can I speak to that man about what God is doing, His victory in my life, and all those things when I'm walking around with a bad attitude? How can I do that? I realized that if this guy was going to get saved, he's probably going to get saved through somebody else, because I probably had, at that point anyhow, kind of, what's the word? I used to have a great vocabulary. I think it's still up there someplace. I just can't really pull it all out at all the times, but it was almost there and it's gone. Anyhow, I was no longer able to do it. Disqualified. That is the word. I disqualified myself by my own behavior. So, okay, we're saved. That's side A. We got to do something good for God. That's side B. How do we do that? Well, first thing we have to do is we have to be prepared. Okay? This Christian walk isn't like just, you know, as they say, falling off the turnip truck. You know, it's like we need to have an anticipation of something so we can be prepared for it in our conduct and so on. So in 2 Timothy 2:20, Paul talks about the church as though it's a big house, like a mansion. He says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver. Think of the pink house over there, right? There's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, he said, this is the reality. This is what's in the house. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that is the dishonor, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, which means set apart, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And sometimes our behavior, our attitudes, all this, we're just not walking the way we should. Now, God will help us walk the way we should if we allow him to help us walk the way we should. We're easy. Now, maybe this isn't you. I don't know what you do, but I tell you this with me. I am easier on myself than I am on other people. I am more prone to give myself grace than others. So you can all, now you know how you can pray for me. We have got to be hard on ourselves. We've got to say, you know what? This habit, it's just not right. Am I a vessel of honor or am I a vessel of dishonor? According to this scripture, if I cleanse myself, therefore if anyone cleanses himself, oh, wait a minute, I thought the blood of Jesus cleansed me. Well, yeah, it does, but we have to reach out and we have to apply this to our lives. So if we cleanse ourselves, here we are, we'll be vessels of honor, sanctified, put in a special place. The Sunday china goes in a special place. It's not used commonly. Sanctified and useful for the master. How many of you want to be useful to the master? You know, we got this promise that well, it's not exactly a promise, but it's a parable which kind of tells us the way it is. So the one who takes what God gives him and does good with it will say, God will say to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, if I were to ask how many want to hear well done, all our hands would go up. But if we're going to hear well done, we got to do something, and we got to do it well. God's not a liar. Oh, I know, you know, we had a hard time on the earth and all that, but well done. No, because he said the other one, you're a lazy, wicked servant. Okay, I don't want to preach into that, but that would be interesting. Pastor Dave will handle that at some point. So we need to be prepared. Are you prepared? If God were to call upon you right now, would the things that people see in your life qualify you or disqualify you? Moving on. We might find that we're unable to do what we believe God wants us to do just because there's a lack of preparation. We're talking about the first one. We're talking about a cleansing of ourselves of those things which are detrimental to the witness that God would have for us. And I'm speaking of witness not only as preaching the gospel, it includes that, of course, but all the other things that people observe in us which will either move us forward or not. So we also have to have something to give, right? I mean, if you go to somebody, you go to some doctor because you got some problem, and he looks, he says, wow, this is an interesting problem. I have no idea what to tell you. You know, this is not going to make you feel really good. You want someone who has studied and has prepared and says, you know what, I've seen this before, let me, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we're talking about the gospel, but we're talking about a lot of other things too. We're talking about someone helping someone else with a scripture. Maybe it's another script. Maybe it's another believer. Maybe it's somebody in a hospital and there's healing. You go to scriptures. You know what's in there because you've put it in your heart. Your opinion doesn't carry today. Well, I think you should do this. I think you should go to church. Straighten out your life, you sinner. I think. Who cares what you think? I don't care. People don't care what I think. They really don't. But the Word of God is given by inspiration. It's profitable. So we go to the Word of God and we start. We don't say, I think. We say, God says. His Word says. But you know, in order to say that, you got to know it. And I think we got a lot of people in this church that read the Bible daily and do what they should do. But overall, in the Christian world today, I am appalled at the lack of biblical knowledge among believers. They got nothing to say but what they think. And they don't even know why they think it. We can't be that. It's God. What did he say in his word? And your effectiveness to witness, to encourage, to help others in any way will greatly improve if you know what you believe and why you believe it. Preparation sounds like a lot of work, doesn't it? Well, it is. But if you want to be used by God, we need that. We need to read our Bible. We need to study our Bible. We need to memorize our Bible. A lot of us here remember the old days when most of the choruses we sang in church were right out of the King James Bible. I read large portions of the King James Bible just by singing the choruses. There's something beneficial to that. Read your Bible, study your Bible, and memorize your Bible. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. One of these days I'm going to preach on this verse, the division of soul and spirit. Apart from the Word of God, apart from the Holy Spirit, where do you know when the soul stops and the spirit begins? I'll talk about that someday. Can't do it today. The division of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, the Word of God really searches us out. So we need to be qualified. We need to realize that God expects us to do good works. There's an expectation from God that we would be about our Father's business. The good works that God has prepared for us are not really optional. Well, I don't know. I could. Maybe I will. I don't know. If we really understand who we are, who He is, and what it's all about, we find ourselves kneeling and offering Him our sword and saying, use us. Help this life that I have mean something. Ephesians 2:10, which you've already read, but it's got to be put in here again. We are His workmanship, not our own. We are created in Christ, the new creation, for good works. Here's the clause, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God is, He is not making up things in our life. He's, you know, Psalm 139, I knew all of your days before there wasn't even one of them. He's got this thing planned out. And the plan He has for Judy Riley and the plan He has for Judy Brazell are not the same plans, but they're His plans and what God wants for that those people to be involved in. And He's got plans for each one of us. It becomes our created purpose here on earth. We have God-given assignments. Think of that. Assignment. Ooh, that's a strong word. But you got him. He prepared good works which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has expectations. You know, there are sins that we commit, and we're pretty aware of that. Oops, I did that wrong. But there are sins of omission, which are much easier to overlook. The things that God prompts us to do, and we don't respond. Sin means missing the mark. And we can miss the mark by doing something wrong or not doing something that we are prompted to do. James 4:17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's sin. We're getting serious now. Such a nice message up till now. Now we're talking about sin. My goodness. I remember one time I was in my office, and the phone rang, and I picked it up, and there was this sounded like a young lady on the phone. And she's explaining to me how her and her husband are preparing to go to the mission fields. I don't remember what mission field it was, some mission field. And so I listened to her, and I said, well, how did you find me? Why are you calling us? And this little sad voice on the other side of the phone says, I found you in the Yellow Pages. I'm thinking, has it come to this where missionaries are going through the Yellow Pages to try to... I'm serious. I'm thinking, what is wrong with our system that that's happening? Again, another message completely. But it really impacted me. It says, well, I'm sorry. We're maxed out our missions budget. We got all that we can give, and we can't give no more. But God bless you. And I hung up the phone. As soon as I hung up that phone, the moment I felt the Lord say to me, why have you done that? And I knew there was something I could have done to encourage this couple. I could have said, let me meet with you. We don't have a missions budget, but I'd love to hear your vision. Take a couple $100 with me in a check. Buy them lunch. Give them the check. Pat them on the back. Maybe even get a prayer card and pray for them now and again. There was so much I could have done, but you know what I did? Nothing. And so this poor young lady hung up the phone with me, feeling like a telemarketer, you know, rejected again to go to the next church and the next church. And then, well, from that day to this day, I never refused to meet with a missionary. I never refused to buy them lunch, and I never refused to take something with me to give them and help them on their way, even if I can't take them on as a missionary. They're just a little thing, but I had the opportunity to do good. And I totally missed it. I had no way to reach back to her. I didn't know who she was. We didn't have caller ID. This was the dark ages. And I had no way to get back to her. We must be prepared to do good works. We must be qualified to do good works. We must be obedient in doing our good works. And we also need to be on alert. I don't have time to get into that. But we need to be on alert. Now, wishing you had something, you know, sometimes the internal conversation goes something like this. And I'm going to probably go 2 or 3 minutes over. Please forgive me. I'm pushing as fast as I can. But I can't compromise this part because this is where I get in your business. Somebody's a preach on. The other one said, shut up. Wishing you had something... Oh, if I only had, then I would. Ooh, if I only had, then I would. If I only had money, I'd give a lot to the church. If I only had the talent to play piano like Pastor Dave, I'd step forward. I'd help him. I'd give him relief once in a while. I could do that. If only I had this, or only I had that, then I could do something for. But as it is right now, I don't have anything. I just nothing. When God was handing out gifts, I must have been standing behind the door. I got nothing, nothing to give. God knows exactly what you have. He gave it to you. I think I might have told this story. I'm not sure. Sometimes I say things at the men's Bible study and then here, and I lose track. So it's a good story, so enjoy it, even if you heard it before. I had this guy. He wasn't really in my church. His wife was in my church, and she was a dear, dear, devoted Christian, and he was a really nice guy, but he couldn't get him into church very often. And so he came up to me one day, and I saw him, and he said, Pastor Tom, And it was down in Maryland, and there was one of these mega million, billion, gazillion lottery things, you know, where if you win, you can buy the state when you're done. So he said, if I win this lottery, I'm going to build that church that you had plans on the wall, and vision, you were writing the vision so people, I'm going to build that church. He said, I'll build that for you. Yeah, you afford it. It's only going to be $10 million, so you can afford it. So anyhow, the weekend went by, and I saw his wife, and I said, Joy, I said, did Bernie win the lottery? She said, he won $5. I called him up. I said, hey, Bernie, I said, when would you like to meet with the architect? We get this thing rolling. He said, what are you talking about? I said, you said if you won the lottery, you would build a church. He said, I didn't. He said, didn't you win $5? You won the lottery. It's so easy to say, and he did not build a church, by the way. It's so easy to say, if I have this, then I'll do that. What that does is it defers forever you ever doing anything. 2 Corinthians 2:18, for if there is first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. Can I tell one more story? So, again, I might have told this before. I don't really know. I've told it other places. So, I was in church. Every pastor knows after Sunday, Monday's a little bit of a reprieve, but then by Tuesday, your mind is working. Sunday's coming. I got to preach and Tuesday. And so now I find myself on Friday, and I have not a clue what I'm going to preach on Sunday. I'm like totally blank. And I'm like, wow. And so I'm getting really nervous. So I decided, this is a novel idea, I decided I'd go out in the sanctuary and pray. So if I did that on Tuesday, I might have had a better week. So anyhow, it was a lot like this. There were stairs here, and there was a pulpit up here, which is where I stood. And I knelt down, and I began to pray, hunched over at the altar. And I opened my eyes a little bit, and I looked, and there was the offering plate. It was sitting there. And I became keenly aware it was empty. Oh, it's empty. And I heard the Lord say to me, we're going to take an offering. Which I found amazing because, as far as I knew, I was the only one in the sanctuary. And he knew what I made. And it seemed like a waste of time to me. I said, well, what offering? And the Lord said to me, he said, you know, Tom, he said, you're a busy guy. He said, maybe too busy at times. Or maybe you're busy in the wrong things. At any rate, I want your time. So at those times, I would probably do it with my phone now, but we had day timers back then. For those who don't know, those are pocket calendars. So I took out my little day timer, threw it in the offering plate. Thank you, Jesus, you have my time. He said, let's take a second offering. I said, okay. So he said, take out your wallet. I took it out, get the picture. I took a picture of my family. He said, you see those people? It's your family. You say they're mine, but they're not mine. I want them. And I put that, and this was tough. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but finally I let it go. And I went to put my wallet back, and he said, well, as long as you have that out. So in go a few credit cards. Finally, I said, is there anything else? He said, well, actually there is. He says, your house, your car, your ministry. So I reached in my pocket and I took out my car, my keys. Had all the church key on there, my home, my car. I threw it in there. And I kind of patted myself down. Lord, you have it all. I don't have anything else. I don't remember what I preached the next Sunday. I have no idea. I was trying to get a message, and he was taking an offering. After it was all done, I'm thinking, okay, now what do I do? I got a plate full of the stuff that used to be mine. If I leave it here, when they come and clean the church, they're just going to bring it back to me. It's going to be on my desk. So I began to put the things back in my pocket. I was so aware that I no longer owned any of that stuff. I became, at that particular moment in time, I became aware that all I am is a steward of what he has given to me. Up till then, I thought it was mine. I would say it's yours, but remember Moses? God said to Moses, what do you have in your hand? He said, I got nothing. Nothing but this staff. He said, throw it down. He threw it down. Remember, it became a snake. He went and he picked it up by the tail. Became a stick again. Something happened. There was a transaction there. That rod of Moses became the rod of God. With the rod of God, he could part the Red Sea. With the rod of Moses, he couldn't do much at all. With the rod of God, he could strike the rock and water would flow. Remember the widow? Elisha went. Her husband was a prophet. She was in deep debt. Elisha came by and she said, my father, I'm in trouble. He said, what do you have in the house? She said, nothing but a little bit of oil. Remember the story? He said, you go and get vessels. Go to your neighbors. Go to everyone. Get as many as you can. Don't spare. Get vessels in. Not a few, he said. And now start pouring that oil into each vessel. And she filled one, and then she filled another, and she filled another. She filled them all, and when they were all full, she said to her son, get me another one. She said, Mom, there's no more. And the oil stopped. She sold the oil. She paid off the debt that she was under, and she lived on the proceeds of that oil. What do you have in the house? Nothing but. The little we have, if it really is a little, is increased when we give it to God. One more final thing, we're done. Remember that little boy, the lad who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes? It's very interesting. I don't know how they came about finding this guy. But I'll tell you one thing. One kid out of a crowd of at least probably 10,000 or more people, there were 5,000 men, there were women and children, whole bunch of people, only one person had food. That's not reasonable. I was preaching in a church and I watched a bag of Doritos be passed down. People are always thinking about food. Right now, if we took a food offering, somebody's got an apple in their purse, they got a candy bar, they're going to scarf down as soon as they get out of here, if I ever stop. So this boy, he had, Philip said, what is this among so many? Jesus took it, gave thanks, broke it, passed it out. When he was done, he took up 12 baskets full of leftovers, which I believe every one of his apostles that were trying to train them, each one of them had to pick up the basket and follow this kid home and take that food back to his mom. That's what I think happened. And every step they carried this basket, they had a lesson. Jesus can do anything he wants to do if I just give him something. So, what can you offer God today? A lot of preaching, a lot of words, a lot of stories. Now it's all about you. And there are some tremendous servants here. I'm not bringing any criticism on anyone. It's very personal. But I'm just asking, what can you offer God today? What good do you have within your reach? It could be in the church, but it doesn't have to be in the church. It could be anywhere. You're God. You're an assignment for God. The work was prepared before you were even saved. He's dispatching us out into the world to do his will. What do you have today that could help encourage or strengthen or support another person in the name of Jesus? I was struck saying that was awesome, what you did. Completely on her own, took a gift she had, and brought it and said, maybe you can use this. And it's going to brighten the lives and hearts of a lot of kids. Taking a gift. It's a little thing. What you got? What if all believers were to say, Lord, I know I don't have, I'm not all that much. I know that. But here I am. How do you want to use me? What do you want me to do? Are you prepared? Are you qualified? Are you walking in obedience? Is your antenna up so you're alert to the opportunities? If no, maybe we can just pray about that right now. And that's what I'm going to do before I turn this back to Pastor Dave. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, you know us. You know that sometimes we walk in what we think is humility, but really what it is, it's denying your word. It's not humble to say we're nothing. We are something. We are children of God, possessors of the Holy Spirit who dwells within, and we have things that we can do. So, Lord, we just around this room, if there's something that you've been resisting or something, maybe you just want wisdom. Lord, I don't know what he's talking about. But if he's talking to me, help me understand. Lord, we just give it to you right now. We want to be used by you. This little church can make a great impact as we walk in the power of your Spirit, in the direction of your Spirit, offering to you the things that you have given to us. And so, Lord, that's what we want to do. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Dave, I'm sorry I went 10 minutes late.
That's great. No, I appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God has given you something. God's given you something. It says to one he gave 10, to another he gave 5 talents. When they say talent, they're not talking about things you can do. They're talking about an amount of money. A talent was like a dollar or a type of money. And to one he gave 1. But everybody had something. And God was just looking for them to do something with what he gave them, whether it was a lot or whether it was a little. So glory be to God. He can use you mightily. God can use you mightily. Step out, church. Grab hold of this word and ask God to show you what to do. It's not a big puzzle. He'll reveal it to you. Father, we just receive your word today. We thank you that you've called us, you have changed us, and you've deposited within us, Lord. And now you want to take what's been deposited in us and deposit it in others. Help us to be faithful, Lord, with what you give us. Help us to walk in it and watch you multiply it for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, and amen. If you're here and you would like prayer today, someone is here to pray for you, especially if you have a need in your body or in your life. We would love to pray. And if not, God bless you. Go out.